All right. Hey, Fritzberger and bloodandfaith.com. It's 13 September 2023. And I was reading about out of the book of Luke last night. And you know what I talk about here? If you didn't know what I talk about here, you probably wouldn't be listening to this. And the more I get into this subject, this issue, this topic, this theme, the more overwhelmingly I see it. And once you start seeing it, you can't unsee it. And the support for what I talk about is absolutely, incredibly, mind-bogglingly, if that's a word, overwhelming in the Holy Scripture. And I want to start in the book of Luke. I'm just going through the book of Luke, minding my own business, trying to fall asleep at night. You know how you fall asleep at night, right? You start reading your Bible and you fall asleep. So I'm reading my Bible, trying to fall asleep, and it just keeps jumping out at me. I've covered, and the Jerusalem Post has covered, the fact that the modern-day rabbis are, in fact, the spiritual heirs of yesterday's Pharisees. There's a direct link between the two. They both taught the traditions of the elders and the precepts of man that Jesus Christ describes throughout his time on earth in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 15 is a great place for that. But they teach the Talmud. Today's rabbis, there's a direct link between yesterday's Pharisees and today's rabbis, and they both teach what has become the Talmud, rabbinical Judaism, Talmudic Judaism. And this is an Antichrist worldview, Antichrist faith, Antichrist philosophy, Antichrist political movement. I don't distinguish between those. We live in a world where they want to distinguish between politics and religion, and there is no such thing. There is no when people want to dissect the difference between politics and religion, what they really want to do is they say, it's a religious idea. It has no place in our politics because we have a secular outlook. That's why they do it. They're not doing it because religion has no effect on politics or no place. It's because they don't want it to. And any historian, any sociologist will be very happy to look at the history of the world or contemporary politics in a foreign culture, and they will say absolutely the religion of society has a direct bearing on the morals, the legal framework, the philosophy, and the politics of that society. Nobody would ever question that. The only place that's questioned is in the United States of America or modern secular Europe, influenced by you know who, and they say, oh, you can't mix politics and religion. Nonsense. That historically, that's not a factual case. Historically, that's ludicrous. How can you tell a man you can't mix what you believe with how you want to run society? How can that possibly be? How can anybody say that? How can anybody come along and say, Fritz, what you believe should have no bearing whatsoever on your morality, your philosophy, your worldview, the laws you want passed? On its face, it's ludicrous. People make the distinction between religion and politics in order to draw a fence, build a wall around Christian ideas, and cast them out of modern politics and philosophy and law. That's the purpose of making that distinction. Oh, we do things based on science. You're a liar. You're a liar. And nothing should be more apparent today when people say that, because they're pushing the transgender and homosexual agenda when it's fundamentally, positively, absolutely, undeniably anti-science. Two XXs do not make a male or a female, do not reproduce. Two XYs cannot reproduce. Homosexuality is extinct in exactly one generation. One generation, gone, over. Doesn't matter how much you butcher somebody or add chemicals to them, they don't change from an XX to an XY. But that's not what I want to talk about. The point is this. There is no difference. There is no fundamental line between what you believe in and your political view. People say that in order to cast Christian ideas out of society. Oh, you can't impose your religion on me. All laws are an imposition of a worldview. All laws are an imposition of a faith. All laws are an imposition of morality. Laws against murder are an imposition of morality. So it's ridiculous on the face Nevertheless, if you don't know what to believe, you read the Bible. Okay? It's the anchor and a map. It's the one anchor. It's the one map. If you're a Christian and you don't read the Bible, you're lost. You're flat out lost. And you need to demand of your pastors and preachers that they read the Scriptures and they understand the Scriptures and that the Scriptures themselves trump any man-made tradition. Right now in the United States of America and most of the former Christendom, with most churches, Christian, Protestant, Catholic, whatever, Pentecostal, charismatic, they have this belief that's not true. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because you already know what it is. Luke, pick any spot in the Bible. Here's John the Baptist. John the Baptist starts preaching. He began saying to the crowds who were going out to baptize him, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Okay, there's enmity and ought there. Who's the viper? Who's the children of the viper? Goes right back to Genesis 3:15. Bear fruits in keeping in repentance. Do not say to yourselves, "We have Abraham for a father." All right, now all these people out there said, "Oh, we're the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." First of all, 99% of them are liars. They're not. Their ancestors converted to the Talmud. That's a fact. Even if they were the descendants of Abraham, John the Baptist says, "Do not say, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham even from these stones." My apologies. Forgive me for that. "Indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees." The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. What is John the Baptist so worked up about? Why does he go after these people? Why does he go after the crowd and call them a brood of vipers? Why does he tell the crowd? He says, don't sit there and say because you're a descendant of somebody that you're special. Don't say that. God's able to raise up from these very rocks children for himself. Why do you think Peter's called a rock? Why do you think Jesus Christ was called a rock? Why do you think Jesus Christ is called the chief cornerstone? There's a whole new bloodline going on, baby, and it's the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Outside of the bloodline of Jesus Christ, thou art not a child of God. Thou art not. All right. And he goes on and he starts preaching. With many exhortation, he preached the gospel. And he goes down, he talks about Jesus. He says, "Listen, I'm baptizing you with water. Somebody's coming. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's going to gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Moving on. The temptation of Jesus Christ. Again, this is a few chapters out of Luke. Jesus goes into a situation of temptation. Satan himself comes in temptation. What does Satan say? "And the devil said to Jesus, 'I will give you this domain and its glory.'" What's the glory? Well, I would imagine it's all the wealth. All the wealth and glory of the kingdoms. "For it has been handed over to me." So Satan said, "Look, somebody gave it to me." Who gave it to him? God did. Okay, God did. God said, "Okay, go for it. Run it." And he says, "It has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish." And indeed, that is true. People say, "Well, God rules the world." And and Daniel says very clear, he says, "He gives it to whoever he wishes." Well, apparently, God gave it to Satan. So you go ahead and run it. Knock yourself out. Satan goes to Jesus, "Look, worship me, and I'll give you everything." Jesus turned him down. Now, who do you think he gave it to? He gave it to his own children. Satan gave the power and the wealth and the glory of the world to his own children. Of course he did. Also known as his own synagogue. The Bible's very clear that the devil has his children. From Genesis 3:15 to Luke chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says, "You brood of vipers, you offspring of the devil, you seed of the serpent." Jesus Christ refuses him. And we go along, and Jesus is preaching the gospel. And he says, look, he's in the synagogue. He says, no doubt you're going to quote your proverb yourself, physician, heal thyself. And he says, I'll tell you the truth. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was shut, but Elijah went to none but Zarephath in the land of Sidon. There's many lepers in the time of Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. He says, listen, you people, you that call yourselves whatever, don't think you're so special. Stop thinking you're so special. He says, there's many widows in that time. This goes back even before to the time of Jesus Christ. There's many widows in the times of Elisha. There's many sick in the time of Elijah. He said he didn't go to any of them. He didn't go to the offsprings of Abraham. He went to a Syrian. And he went to this woman of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. He said, stop thinking you're so special because you claim to be a descendant of such and such. Jesus Christ starts right off with it. And the church has got this all buggered up. I'm sure that's a bad word. I'm going to offend somebody. And you got these spiritual trannies, the claiming they're something that they're not. They claim they're something that they're not. I'll tell you flat out, the Word of God existed long before any peoples. I don't care what you call yourself. You can call yourself a European. You can call yourself a Jew. Doesn't matter. Word of God existed long before y'all and y'all's ancestors. So if somebody comes along and says, I'm a Jew, sorry. You don't get to define what that is. The Word of God already does. And if you want to say, I'm a Jew, and the Word of God says you're the children's devil, well, then you just placed yourself in that category. You put yourself in that category. The Word of God existed before you. It will exist for all eternity. And Jesus Christ looked at the Jews, and he says, you're of your father, the devil. Furthermore, he elaborates on this in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. All y'all people, all y'all are running around calling yourself a Jew. You're liars. You're of your father, the devil. So whether you're of the stock of Abraham or simply claim to be of the stock of Abraham, the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, is not impressed. Not impressed even remotely. John the Baptist wasn't impressed. Don't say you're sons of Abraham. You brood of vipers, you children of the devil, John the Baptist called them. Goes right back to the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15. There's the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Jesus Christ said, look, this didn't begin with me, Jesus Christ says. It didn't even begin with me. Go back and look at Elijah and Elisha. There's lots of sick people, lots of needy people of the house of Israel. He said, I went somewhere else. He went somewhere else. We went to Sidon. We went to the Syrian. Stop thinking of yourselves like you're all this or all that. Those of faith are the children of Abraham. Those who are of faith are the children of Abraham. If you're not in Jesus Christ, you're not the children of God. And the church is both deceived and too traitorous. I'll throw both out there, and you figure out where you line up with this. The fraternity of Judas Iscariot is very large. Men called, chosen to preach the gospel, praying for the sick, casting out devils. Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? And they're going the way of Judas Iscariot by siding with the Jews. All right, and the purpose of this podcast tonight is just to tell you, I don't care where you open up your Bible. If you read the Gospels, you're going to find out who the enemy is pronto. All the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. Believe me, I'm not the original anti-Semite. If anybody was, it's Jesus Christ. Jews hate Jesus Christ. They hated him then. They hated him then. They hate him now. Luke chapter 4, verse 28, and all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. Jesus, you're an anti-Semite. Jesus, you're a Nazi. Jesus, you're an Adolf Hitler. Jesus, you're a fascist. You're anti-Semitic, Jesus Christ. All the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard this thing. They got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. They're outraged at the anti-Semitism of Jesus Christ. This is not new. Goes all the way, it's over 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ is just talking about Elisha and Elijah. Look, y'all, stop calling yourself special, whether you're a spiritual tranny or an actual descendant of Abraham. He said, they sent the prophets to Sidon in Syria because you're a backslidden harlot, the whore of Babylon. And here, right here, here's the people in the synagogue trying to murder Jesus Christ. Okay, day one, step one, chapter four of the book of Luke. Y'all think this is some late invention. Oh, we can't hate the Jews or God. No, they're not. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ called him the seed of the serpent, a brood of vipers. And I've talked to you extensively here at bloodandfaith.com about how the Jews themselves, to this day, they say, look, the gospel according to St. Luke is fundamentally anti-Semitic. I don't care. I do not care. I'm going to side with Jesus Christ. I'm going to snuggle right up, right under his wings, and I say, I'm going to say what Jesus Christ said. I'm going to say what he said. And the church has rejected what Jesus Christ said because the Jews have gone out there and convinced the Christians to adopt the traditions of men and the precepts of elders over the written word of God. Okay? It's the same thing they did to the law and the prophets. There's a theme here. Okay? It's nothing new. All right? So here's these common people in the synagogue. They're filled with rage against the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They try to murder him right there. Try to murder him in the crib. Try to murder him when he starts preaching. There's enmity from day one. John the Baptist says, y'all are you're the devil's children. You're a brood of vipers. It's the same thing. Jesus says, hey, just want to remind you, this goes long before me, Elijah and Elisha, they went to people that weren't even descended from Abraham because of your hearts. All right. The devils know who Jesus Christ is. He's casting out devils. He says, hey, leave us alone. We know that you're the Holy One of God. All right, he chooses his disciples. One of the disciples he chose is Judas Iscariot. The devil didn't sneak Judas Iscariot in there. Preachers, I want to remind you, preachers, the devil did not sneak Judas Iscariot in there. Judas was called and chosen by Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter, somewhere in here, choosing the 12, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. It happened as he was passing through the Sabbath. The Pharisees, again, when you think Pharisees, think of today's rabbis. They are the protectors and the propagators of the Talmud, which is fundamentally antichrist. And their enemy has always been and always will be Jesus Christ. You can't fix that, Christian. You can't fix it. Okay, you can't fix it. You can't make friends with the world. The enmity and the hatred between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent was introduced by Jesus Christ in the third chapter of Genesis. This wasn't the devil that introduced hatred. It was God Almighty. He says, I'm going to put enmity, which is a hatred unto death, between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Genesis 3, chapter 15. Excuse me, Genesis 3, verse 15. You can't change this with your good intentions. You cannot. And if you want to be friends with the world, including and especially the Jews, you make yourself at enmity with God. Okay? The more I read it, the clearer it is. So the Pharisees say to Jesus, remember, Pharisees, rabbis, Jews, why do you do what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Okay? Right away. We're going to find some way to accuse you. So Jesus says what he says. Then they said, the scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath so they might find yet another reason to accuse Jesus Christ. They're enemies. Jesus Christ and the Jews are enemies. They've been enemies from the very beginning. Now, can a Jew get saved? Yes. Paul is our example of that. Salvation was extended to Judas Iscariot.